My story in life is like everything I love leaves.
It sounds like you've been through some stuff. Photography is for so many people almost like a savior. You know, people turn to the camera if they're going through stuff or to find something else or to connect with people.
Kind of got like kicked out of school. Funny enough, the only class I went to at school was photography. I had a real chip on my shoulder because like teachers told me I would never be anything in my life. And so I always had this burning desire to prove them wrong.
If you keep that passion and you share that passion all the time, whether you're broke or not, people recognize that. What's your dream now? How do you see yourself making money from what you do?
How am I going to eat next week? How am I going to pay my rent? I'm just going to keep struggling.
Do you feel like the photography industry or the art of photography gets a little bit shrouded in things like social media, influencers, content creators?
I feel trapped in it now. When should I post? And does this look good on my feed? Like, what will this person think? Comparison's the thief of all joy.
You mentioned you didn't want to be good, you wanted to be great. What's the difference? I wanted to start with a question that I saw in my research of you, just kind of how you explain who you are and what you do. You mentioned your photography and kind of people, you wanting people to join you on a visual and artistic journey.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that and why?
It's more for myself, like a personal, like something that I can reflect back on as like a visual diary from a journey that began like 4 years ago. But the body of work is, I'm trying to keep it where the experiences are real, and it takes me to like vulnerability with people and sadness and beauty and feminine energy, all this, but to keep it in a candid, real vibe. Like if I'm going to shoot with somebody, I want it to be like we meet for coffee before, like a few days before even, and I get to know who this person is, like their fears and worries in life, and if I can relate to this person. So then when I shoot, it can be like an open experience. But it's changed a lot since obviously being in Bali, but pre-Bali, it was about entering these different worlds, the camera taking me to these different places that I'd never thought I'd be, and then just like documenting these things and then trying to make it kind of like editorial or portrait-like, but this was like real crazy.
Cool. Where did, I feel like when you're talking about that, there's some, it's almost a reflection of your emotions and your state of mind. Describe that a little bit more.
I guess I'm just, for me, it's okay. So I'm like, I think I'm searching for love, like in every form of the world. I don't know, love and authenticity and compassion is something that's inspiring me. I've been through, my story in life is like everything I love leaves. So that's been like a battle, and that's kind of how I ended up getting into photography a little bit. So I want to try and translate that into my work and use that as the inspiration, like a feeling. And it's a reflection of where I'm at. So when it becomes all lost and funny, then it's because I'm in a place where I'm just like, where the heck am I? And I can morph around into different groups and I can get a bit like influenced. But the main thing for me is to try and stay like, no ego, and just like focus on if I enjoy the work and if there's a love in this. I don't know. I've started to like, yeah, I feel like being in Bali, it's been quite profound with this because there's a lot of surface level things going on here that I struggle with. And I just really seek like authenticity and like just honest feeling. But there's all these agendas going on and different vibes that I get quite lost in, and yeah, so I'm trying to find how to bring this way. I was shooting in Europe and in New Zealand before I left to Bali. Yeah, I don't know if that answered the question or not.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it sounds like
jabbering around.
It's all good, man. It sounds like you've been through some stuff.
Yeah,
right. So you know, open up if you want to, but before that, let's rewind a little bit and talk about your roots in New Zealand, where kind of cameras and photography came into it. I mean, photography is for so many people almost like a savior. You know, people turn to the camera if they're going through stuff or to find something else or to connect with people, whatever it might be. Where does the photography and camera kind of fit into your background?
I'll go back a little bit before that. So I started, I was kind of just drifting around the world, just like traveling, pre anything. And I was just a bit of like a bum. And I kind of got like kicked out of school. And funny enough, the only class I went to at school was photography. Mr. Moon, shout out. He was a legend. He was the only one that believed in me.
Sorry, Mr. Moon.
Mr. Moon, Daniel Moon. Yeah, he like I would wag school. I had the worst attendance in history of Garron College. Like I'd just never go. And then there would be like my one photography class and I'd go to that. And this was before I was like knew where this was going to end up. But so then I ended up getting kicked out of school and drifting around. I moved to Australia and came to like Thailand and was kind of an Aussie for quite a while and just a bit lost. And I came back home and then my dad passed away. And that was really hard because I kind of grew up with my dad. Like I was a bit of a dad's boy because when I was little, my mum did leave. And not her fault. She was just like in a situation where she left to the North Island and it was quite hard for her. And then I stayed with my dad. She thought I'd go with her. But I don't know. I stayed with my dad and then he became like, he was a rock for everyone in the family. So then when he passed away, I had this kind of like a drive to make him proud because he only kind of knew me as like, he was always like, you got to get a job. Like, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And so then I ended up going to fashion school. I got a degree in fashion and started doing this. And I thought that was my passion. So I was doing this for 3 years back in New Zealand, like with this like Conor McGregor like attitude where I was like fucking had a huge ego. Like I'm going to be great. I'm going to be the best. And then I made a clothing line. And then I went up on a reality TV show, Project Runway. It's like a fashion show. I came to New Zealand. And then I ended up on TV. And
so how long ago was this?
2018.
Okay.
So I was on that. And that kind of changed my whole mindset and like what like my life and like what I want to do and not working a 9-to-5. And like I'm seeing all these people, like I'm going to like these crazy parties and like opening parties. And I remember watching like our little famous TV shows and then they're there watching our like opening night. I'm like, wow, like these are the Shortland Street stars and blah, blah, blah. And so I thought I found like this new world that I was like, man, but my ego was like through the roof. Not through the roof. I just was like had a real chip on my shoulder because like teachers told me I would never be anything in my life. I'd be a ditch digger. And so I always had this burning desire. It was to prove them wrong. So this whole fashion thing was more from like a not a humble kind of real passion. It was like a fight to make something
fuck you to everyone.
Yeah. And then so then that was happening and then I met a girl and we were dating for 4 years in New Zealand. And through this time I brought a camera. I really enjoyed doing photo shoots for my brand,
right?
And I was enjoying that. And then I bought a Sony and I was just like playing around with this, like just trying to learn and whatnot. And then I don't know what happened. I went on this trip with her. I took this one photo that's like super profound for me that like pretty much just changed my life. But I took this one photo of my ex-girlfriend. She's like running through like the Milford Sounds in this open field. And it was like a real freeing, beautiful photo. And then this girl, Lena Alice, shout out. Amazing photographer from Germany, Cologne. That comes from a really cool crew of people. And they're like this little like Leica crew, you know, I don't know. She just liked the photo and then reached out. And then I talked to her and I was going through this weird stage in my life because I was falling out of love with the fashion brand. And I randomly put $10,000 in the stock market and then suddenly hit $100,000 in like 4 months.
No way.
So I was like, now I fell out of that. I've got this camera. I'm like exploring this. I've suddenly now like feeling like I have no stress or worries in life.
Gonna buy a phase one.
Yeah, man, I bought a Jeep Wrangler and that was pretty cool for the time, and I kept the rest in the stocks. But to get back to the point, this girl reached out. Now I feel like it was like an angel, man, like somehow God sent me this girl. But we started talking. I was going through my breakup, she was going through a breakup, and we just started talking. She was teaching me about photography and I was like in love with her style and learning so much more about that world and like the levels it can be and what's like her and what is all this cologne, what's cologne, like why?
It's spray, isn't it? That smelly spray.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when like sprayed that on and that was it. It was all she wrote. And then,
she was from Cologne.
Yeah, okay. she was living in Australia right at the time. And then we just started FaceTiming, man, like every night. We're drinking wine, just chatting. It was just like a cool friendship. And then
you were still with your girlfriend at this time?
No, we'd broken up.
Right.
And then it was like COVID. I had all this money. So I'm kind of like in my room every day, feeling quite like depressed, laying in my bed over the clothing line thing. And then just chatting with her and then thinking about, I have all this money. I've got the camera, and she just gave me random little tips, like something so simple. She said, stop shooting in the day. She's like, just shoot like blue hour. Like people go sunset. She's like, try blue hour. And I was like, okay, interesting. She's like, sunset and blue hour, and then just play around with these tips she was giving me. And then I was like, damn, like there's this cool style that I was getting that kind of looked like Leica in a way, the colors and this like emotion to the photo that I really like enjoyed and wanted to do. But I was only just touching it at this point. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna leave and I'm gonna move to Cologne. Because within this period, I became obsessed with like people's work and with Leica, the brand Leica. Like, man, I'm so dream for this idea to be like an ambassador for Leica one day. This is kind of like the driving force. Yeah. And I was inspired by a guy also, like Andre Jocelyn, amazing photographer. And like she is like childhood friends of this guy. So I was like, there's some weird thing going on here that's just like, it seemed too perfect. It made sense of like, how come we connected? To the point then where I just decided to book a ticket and move overseas to Cologne. I was like, okay, if I want to really do photography, I want to die for this art. Like I'm gonna, like I just sacrifice everything. I had this money. Everyone's telling me buy a house, settle down, whatever. And I was like, nah, fuck it. Like I'm just gonna go use this money to kind of get around, settle in, and I want to immerse myself in like this German culture. And man, bro, like the fuck. I sold my Jeep, 30,000, chucked it all back into the shares. Everything's in the shares. So I'm around, I mean, it went up and down a little bit. So I probably got like 89,000 now. Kept some in my bank. And then we're flying to America first. So I was going to do a bit of a trip around Europe. Okay. So I'm like, cool, like I'm going to fly to America. And stupidly, like I'm like, I'll buy a Leica maybe when I get to Germany, wait a few months, learn, and then I'll get my Leica that I've been, because I spent the 2 years in COVID learning to shoot, teach myself while talking to this girl, Lena. And then the night I flew out, man, on the plane, I lost like all of it almost. And because I'd left New Zealand, I needed to sell. So I went from 89,000 to 15K overnight. So then that whole idea got like changed pretty bad.
There's some volatile stocks you're talking about.
No, but it was just Tesla, bro. I was in Tesla for like 2 years, and I don't know. I got lucky and spoiled. Like I had did it before everyone was jumping in the stock world, but I had watched Elon's stuff some like 2011, and I seen like, man, that's really cheap. Like maybe if I just chuck 10 in. And then it just like took off like 4 to 6 months. I had like 100K. It was ridiculous. And then you make money that quick though, you're going to lose it just as quick. And
you could lose it just as quick.
Yeah. And that was part of my story for that. Like I had to go through this.
Wow.
So then I'm like in America, going to Italy, Croatia, London, and then Cologne. And I'm just like broke at this point. So I like moved to Cologne, Germany. I have like 4,000 left in my bank, and I was like, fuck, okay, this is, I don't know anybody. But then, so Lena let me, when I first moved to Cologne, I lived with her family for the first month.
Oh.
And then that was amazing. So like, it was crazy that, and I hadn't even met her yet. Like we'd just been online talking. Now I'm with her family. And then through the wall, I meet her brother who introduced me to this guy who lives through my wall, Zani Chris, this like German guy that just then they introduced me to their friends crew, like my most amazing people I've ever met. And it was like the first time I felt real love and friendship, like a family and friends. These people like brought me in. I ended up like finding a flat and just started shooting, struggling the whole time, but just keep shooting and then go chill with these people, listen to music, have after hour, do ketamine, fuck it, like have a good time, learn like these German ways, bro. There's something about Germany, Cologne, that is just like the world needs to go here. If you need to like look in the mirror, just go there, because they will never tell you what you want to hear. They'll tell you what you need to hear, and it's a mirror because they're so like honest and caring in the right way. That's biblical to me. I read the Bible. I'm not like religious, but I love to read the Bible just because the message on love is so like authentic and real, and that's what resonates with me. It tastes good to read and say. So when I reflect that to the ways these people are living, it's so like honest. I'm like drawn to it. So then I learned a lot from this whole experience there about love and connections, and that's when my work started to develop into like, this is what I want it to be. And I still think to this day, my body of work is about trying to tell the story of like Cologne, Germany. I want to do a photo book. I wanted to share all these stories because I was like in this tiny little town, and all the people here are like making amazing music, producers, artists, photographers, like the most open creative people I've ever met. And I don't know, man, it's like something special going on in the water there, like far out there, Rhine. I don't know what it is. The Rhine's like this dirty ass river, yeah, through Cologne, but yeah, they must be drinking that. But yeah, so I'm like in there. Sorry, am I like chatting too long?
No, it's great. Good story.
So I'm chilling in Germany, learning this whole way. And I fall in love with a German girl.
Not Lena.
No. So she ended up coming over. I met her finally. That was amazing. We're still like, she's kind of just like blown away by the fact that it was an idea to come move here. Met on Instagram, FaceTiming, to the point where I'm like, I'm integrated into all her childhood friends. She's just like, what the heck? You know Cologne better than me. So the way, like, is the way I was surviving there, I was started to enter the techno world. I was just filming techno DJs.
Right.
And that took me to some crazy places, man. Seen some crazy shit. And I got lost in drugs a bit because you're doing it to stay awake and film. And like, I need money. So I'm in scarcity constantly because I'm now broke and I'm trying to pay my rent and I'm trying to eat, and people are looking after me. And it's just like, it's been crazy. Should I just keep going to the point where I ended up in Bali?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I'm like floating around Germany. I'm starting to reach out to like some cool models that are like in Berlin. I'm going up and shooting with these models.
With the money, your income at the moment, or any income that you can get, is coming from techno DJs.
Like crazy techno promoters that are just like paying me like 300-400 euro, yeah, for the night shooting. And then this DJ want to pay that, and some weeks nothing. When I first arrived, I got to shoot, this girl invited me, and I got to shoot with Sum 41, Simple Plan. That was fucking cool. Like I just arrived and I listened to their music as a child with my sister, and that was kind of how I formed into this like musical concert photography. I started going with DJs, traveling around a little bit, went with a really cool band, some like rock metal band. We went down to like the border of France, and it was like, that's why I love this camera. It saved me in a way of putting me in the world of things that I just, like, I hate rock music. But then the camera, I'm there on stage with them filming while they're screaming and the crowd's going crazy. I'm just like, fuck.
Pretty
like
insane.
I'm like, oh, I find myself just stuck by the drummer, just losing it. I'm like, this is like drugs. Like, this is insane. So it's like, and then I have appreciation and love for this art. So I think it comes down to me really loving to shoot people with a passion, because this is like the best thing. Like, people with passions are the best, and I want to not just judge. So many people are so quick to judge things just off the bat because they don't know or don't understand. It scares them. It's fearful. You know, I chilled with boy races in New Zealand with my camera to the point where I hated boy races. And then I did the shooting with them, and I was like, fuck, like in cars, like this is a cool feeling, to the point where I bought a boy racer car before I got the Jeep. I bought this boy racer car just because I loved the feeling of like the turbo kicking in and the culture of like racing. And it was just like, okay, I understand now why they do this. This is like, yeah. So that's, anyways, I'm jumping all over the show. So back to Cologne, I'm chilling. I'm in love with, like, I meet this girl, absolutely in love with her. Like, it was like a movie. Every day I wake up, I'm like having coffee in this like street European culture. And I'm thinking about how I just come from this tiny little town in New Zealand. It's sheltered from the world, you know? And you see it only on Netflix. So like, I'm there now, like I'm feeling like I'm in my own little rom-com. I meet this girl, I stop her on the street, and we fall in love. And she was like, yeah. I still struggle with this today. I feel like that was like the first time I ever felt love. She taught me a lot that inspires my work today, and it will for a long time.
Such as?
Just like love that's honest and open and real, man. Without like game playing or egos, and just like communication. It's so important that I never really had this, and she taught me. Instead of just being angry and giving up, she taught me how to be. And then I'm like so grateful for that. It's like the healthiest thing. And I was supposed to go through this with her. So it's too right. And everything was just like fitting into this world of Cologne. Like, I was supposed to be here. The opposite place where I'm from in New Zealand is Cologne, like on the map.
Literally the other side of the world.
Yeah. And we end up this girl. Says there's a girl in Cologne, she's an influencer, Svinja, I keep saying. I think it's Svinja. Svinja, I just say this. And then she is taking me to Bali. She wants to go to Bali and offers to take me with her. She'll pay for my trip and I'll do photography for her. And we go for a month. And then me and my ex at the time, girlfriend, we like all had dinner together and everything was all cool and like, this is fine and blah, blah, blah. And then just before leaving, we broke up. It kind of wasn't fine. I did some shit that obviously upset her. And yeah, but it wasn't intentional. But that kind of, then I'm coming to Bali, I'm kind of broken. I end up here. And then I'm like, okay, cool. The only reason I took the job is that one of the German guys, Chris, he was living in Bali for a little bit. Kind of when we met, we talked on this couch about things, and you know, he wanted to go and see the world, and he took off and came here. So I'm like, fuck, I get an opportunity to go see my bro. I really missed him. So then I was like, I'm gonna do it. And then yeah, so I came here. I slept in his room and chilled for the month, had the time of my life, met some really cool people. And then I had this fear of going back to Cologne, of this heartbreak was like quite damaging on me.
Because now you're identifying Cologne with your ex.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm going to see her and it's going to be hard, and she's struggling. And I know she was like really in love as well, and she struggled a long time. But I think, yeah, everyone's like waiting for me to come back. And I'm at the airport. I have like $50 in my bank account at this point. And then I'm at the airport and we're putting the bags on checkout, and then I grabbed the bag before it was like rolling down the thing, and then I like stopped it. I was like, and then I decided, nah, fuck it, I'm staying. I want to see what happens here. He's like, I'm thinking, yeah, Chris is still here for a bit, but I didn't even realize he leaves in a week back to Germany. Like, I'm just like, he was going to Japan and then back to Germany. And in my head, I'm like, oh, that's all good. Chris is here too. So like, I can chill with the homie. And then I stayed, and I had $50. And then I thought I had a place for 2 nights that I could stay for free in Ubud. So I just spent the 50 on a taxi to Ubud from the airport and then got some food. And I just sat on the bed, bro, and just started hitting all the Bali chats, like one meal shoot, one meal shoot, one meal shoot. And then the next morning, some girl like hit me up and she did a 2 meal shoot. I took this and then I came back to Uluwatu, got a room, paid like half of the room, and then just started doing the same. And ever since that moment, I've just been fighting for my survival here, up and down, man. And yeah, it's been crazy year here so far. There's a lot of shit that's in between this whole story that I'm like jumping through because I'm a bit nervous. So I'm just, kind of don't know how to chill. But yeah, it's been pretty crazy, man.
Thanks for sharing.
I know that was a long, I don't even know what the question was.
Interesting story. I think it was
just something like,
the camera come into it?
Yeah. So there's another part of this that started that too. Before I met Lena, I had just met Lena and she had given me that advice with the blue light hour and I wanted to try something. And then there were these two women as kind of came into play, Maddie and Ange. They're like quite powerful, strong women, man. I just wanted to shoot them and in this kind of vibe. And we ended up going out, but they were kind of good friends of mine at this point. We're just kind of becoming friends. And it ended up being a real vulnerable time, like talking about how I've just broken up with this girl that also thought I'd probably marry her and we'd get a house and whatnot. And we're shooting, but the girls are teaching me this whole appreciation for like how healing woman can be and the energy of a woman is something that I've lacked my whole life because, my mum, when she left, I just didn't have that kind of nurturing from a younger age.
How old were you when your mum left?
Maybe like 7.
Wow.
And then I moved in with her when I started college. But in that, I'd see her like in holidays.
Mm.
But she had like a crazy partner who was like SAS soldier, fucking did everything, man. He was a monk and I'd go there and he would like, it was like mental abuse, but he was pushing me to be great. And so I kind of liked it, but the stuff that was going on was pretty intense, which I don't know. I just had built this like hate for men as well growing up and like strong men can kind of scare me a bit, but also I like it when it's like a push. If I'm pushed and inspired and like fucking like soldier vibe, I'm like kind of drawn to that because of this like traumatic experience in my life. So I'm like with these girls and they are showing me this like healing through everything in my life, which then like sparked this whole thing where I just like realized like just opening up and becoming vulnerable is like a feminine energy, but it's like not of like woman, it's just being feminine strength. And I wanted to, and being feminine is just being open, communicating, just being honest, not trying to pretend you're something you're not, just I don't know, and have compassion and love. And there's a reason, there's like this reason women give birth. There's like this whole thing where after the shoot, I went home and had this crazy dream and I couldn't sleep and I'm like spasming out. So I made a group chat and there was like 4 girls that really impacted my life at the time in this moment that I just like put them in a group chat and told them a paragraph of like what you've done for me just this whole week. And then they all became like really good friends and had this group chat. And I don't know, maybe there's like a part of that was an ego, I don't know, but it was authentic to me in this time and real. And that sparked this whole like loving to connect with women in a healing way, kind of like a personal therapist, you know, and using the camera to have these like vulnerable talks and then shoot and be like, thank you, here's a beautiful photo of like your soul, you've just healed me a little bit more.
Yeah, so if we were to, you know, I'm looking at your photos, it's clear to me the emotion that comes through. Certainly the openness and the exposure, excuse the pun, of your subjects, not just in a physical way, but in a figurative way as well. How do you get that out of them? How do you make them feel so comfortable and open with you that they are willing to maybe take some clothes off, but also open up on a on an emotional level?
I think it's just talking like this, telling the story. Like,
I'm not going to take my clothes off.
No? Damn. Okay, I'm going to leave. Nah, but just being an authentic man in that, and the fact that, I don't know, I'm not, I don't have a sexual desire for this stuff. Just because I have this weird anxiety with this, and just from traumatic experience and breakup, and I know what I want and how I want to go about it. So then it's these experiences from the girls I talked about before, Maddie and Ange, teaching me this power of a woman, and then trying to capture that essence without it being too like porny, I guess. But it's not.
Talk me through the actual process. Like, so I'll just, you meet someone.
I'll reach out and we do a shoot, and then they'll say, yeah, what did you have in mind? Got any mood boards? I hate that. Let's maybe like get coffee and talk if there's a vibe. And then I want to build a safe space where you feel comfortable. And then they will kind of come up with ideas that they want to do. And a lot of girls, this stuff only started in Bali.
Okay.
This is what I'm actually battling with. I want to get away from this.
Oh.
A little bit. The
why?
It's
so good.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I want to get away from it being just go to the beach and do some nude stuff, unless it's like I have a real experience with somebody that is, it's deep and connected, and I can, it's like it just feels nice, and there was something of substance in it, but I don't know. It's hard. Bali is confusing me with, because I'm trying to use this in a way of business now. The whole time I've been in Bali, I'm trying to now learn the business side. I was working around Stephen, and then he was showing me a lot of this business side and campaigns, and I've learned a lot from this. So like, shout out to that dude for sure. But I struggle with it too. Like I feel like, this is just, there's nothing in it for me. But it's finding that balance of like doing what you love and it being true to your style and trying to survive, because I don't have anything to fall back on. Because I don't want to give my energy to anything else other than this. And I am obsessed with this idea that I want to be great. I don't want to be good. I my favorite movie is Whiplash, like all time.
Oh, best. So
it's like the one movie, man, that captures someone, depicts someone with a passion that is like what you have to die for, this fucking art. And I watch it every month. Once a month, I watch this fucking movie. I literally am going to watch it tonight. I was supposed to watch it last night, and I'll watch it tonight. Because it just like, it relates to me in a way that drum teacher was exactly like my stepdad.
I was going to say there's a parallel.
Or I can show you a photo of the two. They look the same.
Bald.
Bald, yeah.
Like
bald
and macho.
Yeah, but just the face and everything, and the charisma and the tight black shirt and the bravado attitude.
He got the Oscar for that, didn't he?
It's the best fucking movie. It's that and Interstellar is like,
oh, Interstellar as well. Yeah. He's in so much. I can't remember.
Like Birdman, bro.
Oh, so good.
Here's a story. This is explaining Germany, man. I go to Germany, I meet this dude, Chris, and it's like, he's like, gives me an experience of like, come to my house, we sit on this blue couch, mean TV, sound system. And he's like, have you seen Birdman? Because he loves Whiplash.
Fucking brilliant. I remember showing you that. You're like, oh, this is weird.
Never seen it.
You got the Oscar for that as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Or the director did.
All of the acting in
it. Just fucking good. Movies are second to photography. And yeah. Well, I consider it all the same kind of art. I mean, I love movies. Yeah. Like good movies.
Yeah.
Equally, I fucking hate shit movie, which is 95% of what gets pumped out.
That's why I'm like... Bro, yeah, that's so true. I'm so relate. Like, I need music, really good music that inspires me before I make like film editing stuff. So I always start with music, but then movies inspire me so much, man. And because the way I shoot, I love landscape style, invasive angles where it's like a cinematic still, like a still from a movie.
Man, you and I have a lot in common.
This is the best fucking thing. So like, I'm inspired by like, Jasper Noah, bro. I don't know if I butcher his name, that crazy director with like Climax, the movie Love, Irreversible, Into the Void. He's like the Quentin Tarantino of like, I think he's Russian.
I'm not sure. I don't know him.
Or Italian. But he's that. Yeah, don't know these movies.
No, I know the movies. I hadn't heard of him.
He's French, man.
He's the director.
Yeah, and they're just all very fucking fucked up, but so beautiful in the same sense. And it triggers me every time I watch. Like Climax, have you seen this?
No.
Watch it. Watch it tonight. So good, man. And it's like coming back to the Birdman. Like, yeah, Zani's like, my first time ever try ketamine and watch Birdman.
Oh, you watched Birdman on ketamine? Oh my God.
First time ever trying it. And it was a journey, bro. I have so many epiphanies about life in this whole moment. And
let's rewind. Let's go back to Whiplash and the parallels with your stepfather. Do you think that approach by the patriarch is, do you think that helped the student, the drum student in Whiplash to kind of come out of his
100%.
Rebel a little bit just to push through that?
Yeah, that's where I like, I kind of liked the whole experience too. I'm so grateful it happened because, you know, he'll take me up into the bush hunting and I'm like quite young and he'll be like, you're not going to eat unless you do this task. And he'll be like, we're going through crazy flooded rivers where I'm nearly drowning. And I'm like holding onto his gun belt by my finger. And then he's like, hey, we can't cross here. He's like, I nearly let you go. You would have been dead. So then we're like climbing this cliff face to get out of this flooded river that's around the way to get out. He's like pushing my ass up the hill. And he's just telling me to grab onto shit, hold. So he pushes me up. I grab on. He's got a bull mastiff dog that then he's picking up, putting on. He's got the gun. Like it was insane shit to go through as a kid. Is this all the time, just pushing. You'd be having dinner at the table and...
Is that healthy?
I think it's not healthy, but you need to go through this shit to become... Either you just become like 90% of the world and in a safe environment, you need discomfort and you use that. Yeah. I could go one way or the other, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think people need to... There's not enough, and I say this in the nicest way, there's not enough suffering in today's world, right? We live in such a world of abundance and comfort and everything's easy. You don't have to be bored if you don't want to be bored. I mean, there's a beauty to being bored anyway, which is another conversation. But
it's the whole,
people don't go through the most world-changing and beautiful art, whether it's photography or painting or sculptures or writing, whatever, music.
Yeah.
Is born from suffering,
yeah.
Is born from trauma, or is born from difficult times, not necessarily suffering, but just going through life. And that's what makes a person interesting, their work interesting. I think that's why I gravitated towards your photos as well.
Yeah, man.
So I don't really want you to stop doing those photos, but it's interesting to hear.
I'm just trying to...
Would you turn to? Where would you go next?
I know, I still want to do these photos, but I want to do less of the Bali vibe. It's kind of gone down. Like, man, I'm probably the end of this week, I'm just kind of at this point where I'm like, how am I going to eat next week? How am I going to pay my rent? I have these amazing German people that I met recently and they've brought me into their house. Beautiful house. They've given me an amazing room, comfort, security, safety, to a degree, you know, not to where I abuse that, but they're trying to help me win. They see my story. And Benny, Regina, Josie, these three people are like my angels of Bali, you know? And I've, from the struggle, I'm doing things out of scarcity, man. So like, I'm having these vulnerable moments and beautiful shots. And then I've like made a Patreon that I'm like trying to use this as well to then like create some sort of security on the side. But it's nothing crazy. It's just an uncensored photo that you can't put on Instagram for such. But a part of me still is just, I don't know if it's like, am I supposed to do this or not? I don't know. Because I loved when I was in Germany and it would just, I'd be out and I'll meet a group of people and then we all go back to my place and we're just having a crazy after hour and I just bring out the camera and I'm just taking like these invasive shots and I have this visual diary. This stuff, it's a beautiful thing for me. But I'm balancing the two because to be around like a beautiful woman and in that and she's vulnerable, man, that's like a healing power. Like that's very
it's a powerful.
Bro, it's and to have that respect where they trust you makes me like feel better and then I trust myself more and it becomes like this very delicate beauty. You know, it's like I don't know. There's like love and beautiful woman are like the most amazing thing on earth, most inspiring thing at the moment. And where I'm at now, I find this so inspiring for me. And this ability to, I don't know, learn more about myself. And I've had some crazy conversations and I've met some crazy cool people along the way in this environment. And
it's the age-old dichotomy of having kind of a purist point of view, i.e. just sheer passion and love for the art and just wanting to do that, and being a pragmatist on the other side. It was like, fucking hell, I need to eat.
Yeah.
Like, so, it's, you know, and often, and you know, I don't want to patronize you at all, but, it, you know, you're not the only one. Like, so, most people, including myself, like, I have this thing that I love doing and I just want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do
multiple
things. I don't want to do all the other shit that comes with it that you have to do to pay the bills and to get money coming in. So,
but then
like I feel your pain, but it's a battle that all creatives kind of go through, and I don't think is ever really reconciled unless you are top echelon, like 1%ers, where you don't have to get out of bed if you don't want to
eat
as a photographer, right?
Yeah.
It's like you just call the shots.
I feel like I'm living that life sometimes, even though I can't, you know? Yep. And that comes to this little bit of a struggle with having all that money at that one point. I forget. I'm like, man, I used to feel so fine. I used to pay for people. I used to be able to help. Now I feel like I'm just a fucking street dog. I am a street dog, right? Straight up, deep down, I'm a street dog. And I'll never lose that. And that's why I can relate to so many people in Cologne too. Like this crew, they're just like the best, man. But yeah, I don't know. Even just, I always hear like, but sometimes you got to go do the things you don't want to do. But I just don't. I want to just be like, nah, I'm just going to keep struggling until it happens. Because crazy shit is happening. I have been shooting really cool brands and it's starting to, I'm feeling this momentum right now. And I feel like I'm at this point where it's going to switch. And I just, okay, I got to believe in myself. If I don't, no one else will. And if I die, then fuck, I died trying. Like, that's straight up how I feel, you know?
Yeah, good for you, man. Yeah. Well, it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that don't do it and have the same demons in their head. Trust me, I've been there.
Mm.
And it's, you're just waiting for, you know, but keeping that belief and keeping that pursuit, it comes. And not only does it just come with time, but people recognize that if you keep that passion and you share that passion all the time, whether you're broke or not, people recognize that, whether they're your friends or clients or collaborators or just anyone online, right, who might reach out. They might change your life, like Lena did. Might get the next, that might happen, whether it's a financial thing or another thing. But
does that
the fact that you had all that money one time, does that still play on your mind? Like, oh, I had 100K in my bank account one day and then...
Yeah, man. I think now, like literally just the last 5 months, I've just got over it. People kill themselves over shit.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And I was always struggling my whole life. So I was like, man, like God is great. Like glory to Dad. Thank you. You're watching out for me. Like it was just like the perfect storm that I could feel good, you know? But the weird thing is I have nothing now and I'm so much more happier than I was.
Yeah.
When I was so much more happier than I was when I had that money. I had that money and I was driving my Jeep Wrangler thinking, fuck, but like it was just empty. But it is hard to reflect back on like not worrying so much.
What's your dream now? How do you see yourself making money from what you do? Is there a pathway that you see, okay, I'm targeting these couple of avenues?
Yeah. So right now I'm in this phase where I have like, I've met a really cool girl, Luca. She's and I kind of teaming up and just doing like a setting up cool campaign ideas, building my elevator deck, my portfolio. And I'm really trying to land like just to network and land brands in Europe. And try and just get cool campaigns and use this kind of other style that I have that I've learned in Bali with like brands and models that I can use to make money in Europe and get back to Europe and see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
And balance my style that I love to do and then the business side and the style that I can infuse with a brand that they have a vision and what they want. So I'm really trying to break in here, and I have some leads going at the moment, and I find like I'm on Raya. It's so handy. Like maybe I shouldn't share this. Maybe people
is don't. That the agency?
Raya is like that celebrity dating app bullshit.
Oh, okay. And, oh, I don't know.
And you can I go on this and I ain't no celebrity. You just get referred and you can go into it.
You were on Project Runway.
Yeah, but fuck, man.
C-list.
Yeah, D-list, bro. D-list for sure. And I just go on and then look at, because it's all kind of like people with passions and businesses and brands and models. So then I'll go on like location and just search all through Europe. And then you can actually look through like the people that have owned brands or whatever. And you go, oh, cool. Like grab the Instagram. Hey, I just seen you on Raya and here's my portfolio. Boom. And like they respond. It's quite
interesting
cool.
tactic.
Yeah.
Raya.
I mean, majority are on there looking for some
Poonani.
Poonani. We all love a bit of no, we don't.
That'd be in the trailer. You talked earlier about, and this is something I really want to kind of dive into a lot of people, but you mentioned you didn't want to be good, you wanted to be great.
Yeah,
what's the difference?
Man.
In photography.
I think being good, like it doesn't matter how well you take a picture at all. It's about your heart, where your heart is, how you feel about this body of work. And I don't know, really leaving an impact on yourself and the person or whatever experience you had with this. I believe it's just, I don't know, man, it's just really aligning with an authentic self that you know this is my true body of work. This is something that I'm really like proud of. And people then being inspired by that too. And then you're changing lives with this inspiration because you're on a truthful energy, I don't know, attracting this. I think this is like a great, like, I mean, Andre Josselin, like to bring him up, definitely has this kind of vibe, you know? He's inspired so many people around the world. Same with Lena, man, she's inspired me so much. So it's like that is greatness for me. And then being able to eat and pay my rent, I'll be happy. You know, all I want is to pay my fucking rent on time and eat some nasi goreng whenever I want. And I'll be happy, you know, then I've reached greatness.
And get a Leica.
And so this is the other thing.
And a Jeep.
Nah, fuck the Jeep. There was like $100 to fill that bitch up. And sorry, I'm swearing. You got me on the
No, swear. It's good.
The thing that started everything is this goal to be an ambassador for Leica. I want to do this. I have like
why?
I want
status.
I feel like this camera and my style was built for me. I shot with it for the first time 2 weeks ago. A girl had
which
it,
one?
The Q2. It's an experience. The feeling can just. I'd be shooting more. I'll be doing more with my. I hate pulling out my clunky Sony out of the bag and. It just feels like mechanical and a tool, whereas the light, I want it around my neck and I want to just like every day start shooting. I want to tell my story through a visual book, photo book. I'm going to have Lena help me do this, you know, because she started the whole thing in a weird way. But I just feel like there's so many people that have Leica and want Leica and they just buy it. But like, I feel like I come from this tiny town and I sacrifice so much. And I moved to Germany where I understand Germans, man, on like a level that many don't. Everyone's like, why Germany? It's so ugly. The people are so, but it's like, you're so wrong, man. Germans are the best. And there's this, I don't know, infusing myself in that. I feel like I've deserved the right to shoot with this brand now in my head. This is just me. In my own little world.
This is your pitch to Leica right now.
Well, man, I've been hitting that. They're annoyed, bro. I hit them up all the time. Even like the main Leica page, and they're like, "We love your work. Yeah, if anything happens, we'll reach out." So like,
that's good. At least you get a response.
Yeah, they respond every now and then. It's quite cool. And actually, I went to the Kuala Lumpur Leica store, met a guy there, and he's trying to sort me not an ambassadorship, but a Leica sponsorship. Where they'll send me a Q3 or a Q2 to shoot with for a bit and maybe I can tell some sort of story with this. And then I feel like that could be a really cool foot in the door. But I don't know. This is like a conversation that I have with him and they had Chinese New Year and he's like, because the big manager of the area said okay to it. And now I'm just waiting, like, is this going to happen? And I believed it was happening. And so then, nah, I will never get excited until it's like done and actually in my hands. So this could be a thing, but I don't know.
How's your approach to the personal branding side of it? I mean, talking about reaching out to potential clients and doing pitch decks and media campaigns. We talked a little bit off air about your Instagram name.
Oh, yeah.
Where does Silly Duffers come from and how does that play into your brand?
So it first started off the Silly Duffers. I just made it because my dad always used to call me a Silly Duffer. Like, oh, you silly. So my dad used to be like, oh, you Silly Duffer as a kid. And it was just a really cheesy name. And I never really worked out where he got that from. So then one, like 25 years later, I went back to my hometown where life was my mum, my dad and me and my sisters, where it was like normal. And it was really weird. I went back to the house where it was like that one time I can remember like normal family life, and I wanted to walk through the house, and the lady that bought the house off us was still there like 25 years later or whatever. So I went back and I'm walking around the house and I'm just like, man, this is so crazy. Like remembering like the little slat in the wall that you could pull off. And it was like, remember when we first were there, when we were younger, it just fell off the wall and there was guns and drugs in there. And my dad was like, what the fuck? And they just bought the house. It used to be a drug house. It was crazy.
You're like, I'll take those.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a little country town. I bet you the cops are probably in on it too. But so I'm walking around and then it was just like this weird, cool experience where I'm walking out and I look across the road and there's this little sign that said Duffer's Creek. And I was like, fuck, like no way. And then I went through this whole thing in my head where I was like, man, my dad would have been like waking up in the morning, going to the same job. He's a stock agent traveling around like checking farms and cattle stock. So he's waking up early. I could picture him like having his coffee, get in the car, like, oh, here we go, another day, reverse. And he probably every day would see this fucking sign, Duffer's Creek, and he'd probably speak to himself like, oh.
Well, certainly in his subconscious, it's not in his conscious.
And then at night, I'd do something stupid, and he's like, oh, you silly Duffer. So I don't know, it was just really weird. I named it before I even knew that, which was like a really cool thing. And then the other funny thing about it was that Duffer is like the ugly friend in America. So if you've got a Duffer, it's like,
oh, is it?
It's like the ugly friend. It's like a TV show.
In the UK, a Duffer is like if something's broken, it's a Duffer.
Oh, right. So yeah, broken, ugly.
Same thing, so ugly.
Yeah. But I mean, everyone's beautiful. I mean, let's be honest. Some. we're hit and miss. But yeah, so I thought it was kind of a funny play on words.
Yeah, I read a fact the other day. I was reading an article in the news about UK's health problem, which is at its biggest crisis ever, as I think it is with most of the globe.
Yeah.
3/4 of the UK population is either overweight or obese.
Yeah, right.
What the fuck? Yeah. Well, because about 10 years ago, it was a third.
Yeah, right. You know, 3/4 as obese.
It's like quarters.
America, right?
And you do recognize it. I mean, I'm very privileged. I travel a lot to the US and Europe and stuff. And you just walk along the streets now and compare it to your memory 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just, like everyone, especially in the UK and the US, everyone you see is overweight at least.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand.
And everyone's like, yeah, no, but you know, just let them be and everyone's beautiful. No, they're not.
Yeah, that's true.
It's unhealthy.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's a drain on the tax system.
Yeah.
It's a drain on the healthcare system.
Yeah.
And have some more fucking self-respect.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. You
know? Anyway.
No, this is true, man. It's something that I'm like super feeling myself. I'm in this state where obviously I'm surviving and I'm like falling into I feel like I'm getting fatter and I need to start looking after my health a lot better.
Especially mentally. I mean, I agree with you on a mental standpoint. And
yeah.
That's certainly where I've matured in my, since I reached 40. Like everyone is beautiful in their own respect up here.
Yeah.
Maybe apart from pedophiles and rapists and murderers, but
yeah, man,
maybe they have other conditions that we don't we don't know about. Anyway.
Have you seen that Nickelodeon doco about that?
No, I want to. Actually, we just started watching again. So I watched a film called Scoop. about a week ago. It's a British production. It's got Gillian Anderson. It's basically a take on the, I don't know if you knew about it, coming from New Zealand, living in Germany, the Prince Andrew scandal with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did an interview, 45-minute interview with Newsnight, which is like a big BBC news production. It's like, you know, serious news, serious interviews. And he went on there in 2016, 18, something like that. Anyway, they've just made a film about how they got that story. So I watched that. It was okay. It's like a 6 out of 10 thing. But it sparked my interest again in the whole debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck me, that guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, we started watching the Jeffrey Epstein documentary again on Netflix. If you haven't seen that, it's very good.
The Jeffrey Epstein one.
Jeffrey Epstein, yeah. You know who he was?
Yeah. Like, of course.
And some of the stuff he did was insane.
I seen that one, and he had the Miami and the massages and the island, and and there were
thousands of underage girls.
I don't think he's dead, to be honest.
Really?
Nah, surely not. I think that.
Fucking hope he is.
Yeah, but I think it's like fake death. I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea. I can't really comment, but it's just fucked up what's going on.
Yeah.
Bro, everyone, like all these rich people, I think just get bored, and then they're just like, what can I do?
They get bored and curious with how much power they can actually
get away
have
with it, anything.
And they.
You got like the Ryan Garcia stuff happening.
Yep.
That whole world, the P. Diddy thing.
Oh, the P. Diddy thing? Yeah. You just don't know what's going on with these people.
Yeah, man. So many heroes just like fucking falling.
Weinstein.
Off. Yeah.
All the, I mean, God knows what's going on with Trump.
I mean,
he's definitely not a hero, but.
I've been around girls that I've shot that like know that world.
Really?
Even more. And it's just this whole.
Well, models. You mean like models in the, I can imagine it's. Yeah, I mean, that goes back to my questions about how you really get these females to feel truly comfortable in your presence without, you know, I find it, I've been in a photo studio one-on-one with women before and I feel like uncomfortable.
And
I break the ice and make a whole kind of thing of it. I don't meet them before and have coffee and stuff, but I don't want to put a foot wrong. I feel like this is a very sensitive space in between us. So I'm really curious to how, like, I know you meet them and talk to them, but you know, when you're shooting with them, what are the, give us some tips basically. If people want to kind of follow that
way. I think you just got to be a authentic person that you trust yourself enough in that space. It's hard to say, like there's no formula because then it's trickery, you know, it's not natural. And it's not, I don't seek that. It will be like I can just meet a model and have a conversation without even wanting to shoot. It's just, I love woman company, man. I feel safe around it. And then that leads to shooting. And like, I don't know. I think they just have, I always do get the compliment that you make me feel very comfortable, blah, blah, blah. But I don't want to abuse that power either. Mm. And I don't want to like, I don't know. It's weird. You could get judgment from this, but at the end of the day, I don't care what people think. As long as my heart is right, and this, I try to read the Bible, man. That's it. Like,
so you read the Bible, but you say you're not religious.
I grew up, I was like raised Catholic, and then I went Christian, and then I went spiritual and universal, and then nothing. And then some movies made more sense to me than anything. But just now, I'm just in this place where it resonates with me to just wake up, go to the beach in the morning, and just read like scripture on love, like Romans 12. If anyone, even if you're not religious, just read Romans 12. And it's like, love is not self-seeking. It does not boast. It's humble. You know, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. Like Jesus sitting with the prostitutes and the homeless, the less fortunate. You know, I think deep down I crave someone would see me in this light and, you know, not judge me because of like I have nothing, because a lot of that's happened in Bali. Fuck, that happens, man.
Yeah, but fuck those people.
Yeah, I know, but we're like, it took me so long to find really authentic people, man. It actually was such a mission. I keep getting used and abused here, and so many.
Why do you think that is?
Because it's all about status. Everyone comes here because they're lost in some way. Even I'm lost, but I'd rather be lost in Germany. That's for sure. But I just feel like there's a lostness here, and a clout and who's going to survive, and I know the owner here and I do this.
In the expat circles, not with the local people.
No, not
and
Indo.
It's so opposite.
Hell, not, I mean, I guess there's the, definitely not, not regarding any of the Indonesian culture or any of that. That's beautiful stuff. I just think there's a,
I agree with you. It's,
there's a whole, there's like level, there's like the tourist and there's like the fresh expat and then there's like the expats that are opening things that are kind of hiding away, keeping to themselves. Was trying to break into that level was harder.
It's us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're very authentic. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we, I have no interest in that, in that world at all.
Yeah. Like,
we've been expats but, for 12 years, and there is definitely a status immediately when you become an expat, especially if you're young. Like, I'm an expat, or like, you know, they come certainly to Bali and influencers that come to Bali or tourists that come to Bali, A, they treat the island like shit. Yeah. And then, like you said, it's like, oh, who's doing this? And you go, I just think, honestly, I think that is the world we live in today. Mm-hmm. And it's, we have a microcosm of it here. So it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more in focus to us.
Yeah.
But I also think the whole status thing is endemic in the West.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're seeing it here. People come bring it over here.
What's this
as
word?
In like,
word mean?
It's everywhere.
Okay.
It's pervasive. It's okay. Like, it's in, it's, just yeah, everyone is chasing. Interesting how you talk about your parents and what they wanted for you. Mine were the same. It's like, we want you to go to school, then we want to go to university, get a degree, and then we want you to get a stable job that pays well. And it's, you know, that's your road to basically kids.
Just conditioning.
And then retirement at 65, 70, because that's the societal construct we want to put you in. Right?
Yeah. And we're so not there now.
We're bred to like breed status games and competition and ego, and I've got a bigger house than you and I've got a better car than you, and it just stinks.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Just toxic.
Yeah.
And so I think we have a little bit of that here, but in a different way. Like you said, it's a bit more it's a bit more Instagrammy. It's a bit more, oh, look at me and look where I am. But you know, we moved away from the UK for a reason, and that was a big part of it.
Yeah,
you know, I just don't want to play these games
with
people. It's life's more, everyone has their own journey.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own ups and downs, and everyone has their own struggles. But, you know, if you're authentic and real about it, and the battle is not caring what other people think, and that's that's true power.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
true freedom. Right.
That is, man. That's another thing I like to point out as good as like the, there's love and fear, man. And the once you, it's like seek the truth and the truth will set you free, right? And truth is love, and anything that is fear-based, if you just push past that fear, you realize that's just nothing. It's fake. It's fear.
It's an illusion. How does, you know, talked about your dad a little bit and your mum leaving you at an early age. I want to know how that formula of your early lives now transpires into your photography and your style and kind of what you put out there in the world. Because as we talked about earlier, a lot of it's a reflection of yourself, but you know, is there anything specific you can think of in terms of your upbringing and not necessarily traumas, but those kind of
those I think
life experiences?
It's like lacking this, I think I'm always shooting with women. I'm safe around women because I lacked that at a young age. And I feel like I'm just like gluttony a little bit, like taking it all in. And my mum's a fucking legend. Like, I love her to bits. She didn't just like, she didn't willingly do that. It was just a very crazy circumstance, brainwashery from someone, and had moved away and thought I was coming with her, you know. And I was like, what the fuck? No, like, I'm staying with my dad. And so it was, it's not like I don't want her to feel, see this and think she did bad, because I've forgiven her for all of that. And she's like an angel. But I think that reflects into my work for sure with what makes me just feel comfortable and safe. And this journey of, I don't know, man, you just sit with a woman and talk, and you'd be two guys in a room and then a woman will sit down and you feel this like, oh, this, like, it's exciting, and you feel this energy you can bring out. It's like important to be around, man. And you can say anything and be vulnerable. Not all women, but like you find your crowd, energy attracts. So
yeah, it's unfortunate that, I mean, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
It's a completely different energy. Women are 10 times better than men. Let's put that out there. I give men sympathy because of our evolutionary makeup.
Yeah.
Right? We were, you know, for tens of thousands of years, we've been out there hunting and scavenging and protecting and fighting against other men to protect their family. And so there is this ingrained ego, this ingrained machoism, this ingrained masculinity. But if that can be directed in the right way, then it can be only positive. But for people to find men and friends that you can really honestly, like 100% be authentic with is rare.
Yeah. And there's...
Whereas for women, it's I could think of a few off the top of my head that I could sit and have a very honest conversation with.
Yeah, yeah.
Like pour my heart out.
So you mean like finding this with men that same value?
More difficult.
Yeah, 100%.
Way more difficult.
But that's why I love Germans, man, because I found that there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I have two very cool best friends back in New Zealand, but they have kids and kind of in their world. But I had this... open spirit with them where we could talk about anything, and it's really nice. And then I found this just whole new level of it in Cologne, and like the people I live with now are the same. I found that here in Bali in this house, and just like super, I don't know, it's like the most authentic. It's like they're all autistic, but they're not. It's just German. they just say what they want, you know. I'm like, fuck, I stayed in Bali, and my friend Chris is like, yeah, that's your problem, bro. Like, what do you, like, get yourself out of there now. Like, and it's like, yeah, that's so true. And if I ever have issues, he doesn't, like, just say things, you know, to reflect on what I'm saying. It's just there to be heard. I don't know that.
As artists, do you think we have an ethical responsibility to what we do, what we create, how we show it, and how we share it with?
Sorry. Yeah, 100%. I think the bigger you go and the more influence you have, for sure that would be like super important. I think for myself right now, I'm definitely like, you have to have this, but I'm still figuring it out for myself, like where I am, and it's hard. If you I don't know, man, it's a confusing world. Like, if you start worrying about everyone else and what they think too, then you just become not doing what you want to do.
Do you feel like the photography industry or the art of photography gets a little bit shrouded in things like social media, influencers, content creators?
I feel trapped in it now. I never thought I would, and I didn't care about it. But now I'm like, man, when should I post? And does this look good on my feed? Like, what will this person think or whatever? And I'm trying not to try to, like, comparison's the thief of all joy, man. It's like the best quote. And it's like so true. But I really think, social media is definitely damaging a lot, but it's also doing a lot of good. And I just think maybe there's just no such thing as good or bad. It's just is, and it's your perspective on how you want to do this. And all I can think of, no matter what, whatever issue, if you can just find a way to come at love with this, then it sounds so cheesy, but like, love will always conquer darkness.
I feel like we need to go on a retreat and just go on a retreat and just speak love.
But even that's the other thing, bro. This Bali thing is so messed up. Like, that's not love for me. This Abudian thing. All these spiritual fuckboys, man, they manipulate a woman into doing things, and they're just, all sexual gain, and not all, but there's really good, I'm sure, very good life coaches and things out there. But, you know, you can go do a 2-month course or a 4-week course, and then they're just like capitalizing on this and I don't know, letting loose on the world. And I just don't feel like there's a genuine, I just struggle all the time. Like, I feel like whenever I'm around these types of people, they just want to tell me what's wrong with me. And I'm like, did I ask for this?
No, yeah, you should do this and you should do that. This would be really good for you.
Yeah, just like projecting.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. And they're always like, I'm so happy and abundant and I manifested this. And I'm like, fuck, what the heck? Like, what's going on? Like, it's okay to hate. It's okay to fuck up. It's suffering. All this is, you can admit that. It's like, they don't want to admit that, because once you face that ego death, it's really like a dark, can be a scary place for people.
So we'll end our conversation with conversation cards. These are just, I guess, life questions, life hack kind of topics.
Yeah.
So all I do is I'll ask you to
pick one.
Pick anyone, hand it to me, a bit like cards. And I'll read it out to you.
And who wrote these?
The guests, any guests that Stephen Bartlett had on.
Yeah.
They wrote a question for the next guest.
Yeah.
So every question is from a different guest. This question is from Rochelle Humes. If you could turn back the clock on one day this year and do it differently, what day would it be and why?
One day this year. Fuck.
I mean, we've only had 3.5 months of this year. So I guess in the last 12 months.
In the last 12 months, one day.
Your time in Bali. There we go. You've been here a year.
I think I would, it's like a lot of things that I've done that I think, oh, why did I do that? I don't regret it because of the experience that I learned. But it's true. It's cliche, but true. But I think I regret taking, I won't name names, but a certain campaign for a certain big brand that I just shouldn't take because of the fact that I got the opportunity based on my scarcity and lack of assertiveness to be like, this is my worth. Right. And then just ending up in a fucking shit show of all sorts of crap.
So you did it for not enough money, basically.
Not enough money at all, then being pushed into more work, and like, what the heck, to the point where voice notes got sent that are just like, I'm just in shock that people were just like this. Yeah, but I won't name names. But yeah, man, intense stuff.
Name some names after the show.
Yeah. For sure.
Mate, it's been such a pleasure having you on. Yeah, thanks, man, for sharing your story. It means a lot. I'm glad that you can feel safe enough in this space to chat. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of other chats. So
yeah, man. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to come up and spend this time with me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, man.
Cheers, brother.
Pleasure.
Pleasure.